We also looked at the way that God's identity is in himself. God is uncreated. God doesn't get his identity from anything other than the fact that God is God. And we brought up that phrase of God's, I am. I am that I am. And then we looked at the way that our identity as created beings, well, for one, we can try and find our identity in all sorts of different places and created things and money and prestige and relationships, whatever. But that ultimately our identity is meant to come, is designed to come from God who created us. And then we considered the identity of Jesus. And this is our theme for the summer, is the way that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he made seven statements that used that phrase of God's, I am. Jesus had a clear sense of identity because he was God, is God, but also as a human had a clear sense of identity that he is who he is. Jesus is, I am, given with this identity given by God. And last week we opened that out a little further. We looked at what it means that Jesus is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. And bread, in bread we learn that Jesus is God's sustenance for us. Jesus is the substance to give us energy, to make us fresh. We looked at the way that this gift of bread is not the kind of bread that you have to work to achieve. You don't have to go out into the field and till the earth and plant the grain and harvest and thresh and grind and all that stuff. This is a gift, much like to the Israelites in the wilderness, this is bread from heaven. It's bread that comes down free of charge. And in the same way, we looked at the way that this gift of Jesus for us is not just a once-off thing. Yes, of course, there is a once-and-for-all sense that Jesus was given at a particular time. But we receive the bread of life every day. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us each day our daily bread. Today we look at another statement of Jesus, another I am statement. John 8:12, Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to invite you into a reflective mode. So, if you're able, I invite you to quiet yourself. Slow your breathing. I want to ask you some questions, and I invite you to consider them for yourself. Where in your life do you need Jesus to shine? What places within your life, your heart or mind, feel like they are in shadow? Does your work feel like a light place or a dark place? How about your school? What about your family? Is there a relationship in your life that when you think about it, there is a darkness over your thoughts? Is there an area that you're choosing to walk in darkness, in sin, where you know something you're doing is wrong? Is there something that you're choosing to keep in the dark because of embarrassment or shame? Do you feel grief that maybe you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? There are many ways we might experience darkness in our lives. Many ways that we might be choosing, many ways that we might have no choice in. Here's the good news. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Allow me to mix metaphors here for a minute. Jesus states of himself that he is the light of the world and the bread of life. Jesus is God's light in dark places, and also the bread, the food, the sustenance God gives to hungry souls. Consider in these metaphors the kindness and provision of God, God's faithfulness to forgive, to heal, to equip, empower, and love. So I ask, again, what is your need today? Are you hungry for something and in need of bread from heaven? God is with you in this bread. Are you sitting in darkness and in need of light? The light has come. Have you been walking in the dark shadows of sin and need to bring a confession before God, need to bring this to light? There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Are you lonely, afraid, or grieving? The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Could I ask a couple of volunteers to come and take the elements for communion around? Maybe whoever did something, the offering. Thank you, guys. The good news is Jesus is God's provision for you. He is the light that chases away shadow and the body that was broken on your behalf. Just like the bread is a gift from heaven, the light is too. The light is not something that we have to work to achieve. It's something that has been given to us. And what this light brings is truth. The truth that in Jesus you are forgiven. In him, you can see clearly. In him, all your needs are met and a new identity is given. In him, you can receive guidance, direction, the lamp for your feet. This is good, good news. As you take the elements, of bread and juice, and I invite you to do that in your own time. I also invite you to consider not the dark place of your life, but consider the way that the light may break into that dark place. I'll give you a couple of minutes. Know that everything that is necessary for your forgiveness is given to you in Jesus. Know that you are not alone. Know that you have a hope and a future. Know that in Christ, God's promises are yes and amen. Thank you, God. Well, we're going to move now to hear a word from Hannah. Hannah, you can come up now. Yeah, not now, like now. I mean now, like, yeah. I'm just going to shut up. For those of you who might have come in late and didn't hear my introduction, Hannah has come from Hillcrest Baptist historically, and has been working with YWAM for 15 years. She was sent as a missionary from here, so she's kind of one of us, and she's been sent from us, and she's going to share with us. And so, Hannah, come on up. And after Hannah's spoken, I'm going to invite some people to come forward and pray for her. So be prayerful in your listening as well as attentive and all that. And maybe there's a word of blessing. Maybe there's a word of encouragement that God might give you for Hannah. Be open to that as well. So,
thank you. Good morning. Oh, that's loud. I'll take it down a bit. Well, morning, Ilgeta. Name belong me, Hannah. Me belong Raglan, New Zealand. Me work as a nurse on a health sick boat up in Lika Water and Big Plow Water. And me give them baby shop, check Val Mama and Mia Mamas to be in the Big Plow house today to worship and sing with our God. But my name is Hannah, as Mark said, and I'm actually from Hillcrest Baptist. I found this place when I was at university, or tech here. I studied nursing, but my family, or whānau, all live out at Raglan. So that's not a bad place to spend summer, just for the record. So I've had a lot of fun with them out there. But I work with YWAM, or Youth with a Mission, up in Townsville, which is North Queensland, and up into Papua New Guinea, which was my attempt at speaking a little bit of pidgin there, which is, I know that you guys do quite a bit with Solomon Islands, so similar to the broken English in Solomon Islands, a little bit different, but quite similar. But just a little bit about me. I want to share a little bit what I do and why I do it, essentially. But I have had such a desire since I was a little girl to be involved in missions in an overseas context. Actually, I was 8 years old, which is very unusual, when I felt God say to me at a Sunday school camp that you are to be a nurse and you are to go overseas. And I didn't know what that meant as an eight-year-old, but I told my mum and my dad, and they're amazing, and they really encouraged me in that. And they championed me all through high school, and then on to tech. School does not come easy for me, so they were amazing to help me through it. So I graduated as a nurse, I don't know when, maybe 2001, I think. Or two, I can't remember now. I worked for a couple years, and then I joined YWAM. So my heart is for people always say to me, well, what is your, like, people group? Because missionaries are always supposed to have, like, a people group that, like, belong to, right? And I struggled with that because I didn't know for years what people group or ethnicity or even country I was called to. But I've decided over the years that I'm called to the marginalized, the isolated, the lost, forgotten, the forsaken. They're my people. And currently those people are up in Papua New Guinea for me, so that's where I work a lot, up into Papua New Guinea, as well as into North Queensland amongst Indigenous communities within Australia, because unfortunately the Indigenous of Australia aren't the hurt that they have from the church is very recent. It was just over 70 years ago that they were still taking children who are of mixed race out of their homes. So it's very recent history. So there's a lot of hurt amongst the Indigenous there. So I work up in Townsville, YWAM. It's an international organisation. And I wear a lot of hats in what I do. Some of my hats is I'm involved in training and multiplication, because I'm only one person, but I want to make a difference of like 10,000 people, which means I need to multiply myself. So I work a lot with our young leaders and train them in what it means to live a life that makes a difference and how to lead well. I work a lot with young people. We have a lot of young people come through with training schools, and my last school, I just graduated December 14th. I had 49 students, 18 nationalities. They were an amazing bunch, and I saw incredible growth in them in understanding who they were in God and how they can make a difference in the nations around them, which was exciting, and excited to see what God has for them back in their own hometowns or churches or wherever God takes them. And then I also train healthcare workers for the developing world, not just for Papua New Guinea. The healthcare workers that I train could go anywhere. So when I'm training them, obviously we're talking about what it means to have God's heart for the broken and the lost and the poor and the needy, but also to know how to do healthcare in a way that is excellent. Just because we're working in the bush, in the middle of nowhere, we don't want to take shortcuts. We want to do it well. And then, of course, I train local healthcare workers up in Papua New Guinea, which is probably one of my favourite parts of what I do, because these are the guys on the cold front doing all the hard work. So I come alongside these healthcare workers and sit with them, hear their story, and then just able to equip them in a greater way, which is really cool. And then with all of this, so I told you I wear a lot of hats. The longer you're around and why, when the more hats you end up wearing, because you just become more, yeah. I'm part of our leadership team. We have about 130 staff based in Townsville, and I help oversee all their staff. So With that comes a lot of hats, but we also have a medical ship, which was it not last year, but the year before, a couple people from Hillcrest Baptist came on up and joined me with my mum and my dad. That was exciting. And so our medical ship is in the southern region of Papua New Guinea, and we do primary health care, so that's our doctors and our nurses and our midwives. And then we do optometry, so glasses. We do ophthalmology, so eye surgery, mainly for cataracts. And dentistry, we have 4 dental chairs on board, very shiny, they look very nice. And then we have a lab on board for testing for tuberculosis, or TB. And we do education. And I also help at different times oversee all those medical clinics and help plan our engagement, like which villages to go to where, etc. So I do a lot of things, but what I love to do is to get my hands dirty and to be up into the villages. The last year and a half of my life has looked a little different than what I usually do. The last 7 years I've spent majority of my time working on our ship up in Papua New Guinea, but the last year and a half I've spent a lot of my time actually being land-based up in Papua New Guinea, which is actually a blessing because I get horribly seasick. So I was very grateful about that. And I'm leading, I now focus on leading teams by small planes, like bush plane, like a 5-seater plane, something like that. We fly into isolated communities and I station myself there with my team and I connect with the hospital and the healthcare workers, and we spend like 6 to 9 weeks just working alongside them, offering training. So that's more recently, going to the places that the ship can't currently reach. So I'm now the extended arm of what the ship does. So I find myself regularly in the middle of nowhere, which is my happy place, just amongst the people and sitting around the campfire and having cups of tea. Not a big fan of tea, but I've learnt to drink it thanks to Papua New Guinea. Just having cups of tea, relaxing, that kind of thing, during the evening and during the day doing healthcare. And if I'm not taking healthcare teams, I'm focusing on discipleship. So recently, my last team I led was a discipleship community development focused team. So we went back to a region I've been going to now. That was my 4th year there. And we ran discipleship classes with the youth. And it was amazing. I had 18 young men in my group and one girl, which is very unusual for Papua New Guinea. And these boys were all considered rascals, which are like the naughty boys, so they're like the rebels. And they came to our discipleship class because they wanted to learn to speak English, not because they had a relationship with God. However, after day one, that changed. And we saw over the course of, we were with these particular group of boys for only 1 week. But the depth that we saw in these boys was quite transformational in a short space of time, to the point that when we continued to walk down the valley, other villagers would say, "Hey, we heard what happened to," one of the boys' names was Andrew. "Andrew, back at Kapiso, what happened there? He's a different man. He looks different. He used to run around with the rat bags, and now he's like with his wife instead of running around where he shouldn't be." And we're like, "Yeah, we know." And God's really got a hold of him. So it's been really cool to slowly see. So I've been working in that region for quite a while, and we've been doing like short, like day discipleship groups with lots of villagers, but it was time to like dig deep with some of them. So it was very, very exciting. So that all said, thinking about what I do and why I do it, and then what you guys have been doing and how Jesus is a light, I wanted to kind of give another swing on that. Not only we are called to be light as well. And an example from my life, when I was in this year, actually, the photo on the whatever you call it, notice, thank you. That is actually from a place called Lake Murray in Western Province. That little baby, I'm actually giving an immunization to, polio vaccine. That's one of twins. They were just too cute. Usually the mama holds the baby, but I'm like, I got to hold this baby while I'm jabbing it because it's just too cute. So that was one of the twins that we vaccinated that day. But I was leading a team to that area, and I hadn't been to that area before. It was our first time. I'm going back there at end of February with another team. And I was walking around, and somebody comes up to me, and they go, "Sister, sister," which is nurse. They go, "Sister, we wanted to tell you something." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." They go, you're a Bamu lady, right?" I'm like, "A Bamu lady?" Bamu's another area that the ship works in, actually, where your guys went to on board the ship. I said, "Yeah, I'm a Bamu lady. I'm from Bamu. I'm from lots of places in PNG, but I like the Bamu." And they go, "Oh, we just want to say that the Bamu people, they tell us that it was a really, really dark place. It was very, very sad. There was no hope. But sister, when you come, you bring light when you come. And not only do you bring light, but the light now stays. And now the Bamu area is a light place." And I was really touched by that because these people had no idea who I was. But it got me thinking that that's another reason why we want to be people of light, because then we can go to some of the harder places. And I love the hard places. They are my favorite place. Like, as I said, I'm most happy when I'm in the middle of nowhere. So I love the places that everybody else kind of is in the too hard basket. They're my favorite places and people. I love those places. So I was struck that I really want to be somebody that does not hide my light, because I want to be trusted to go to those hard, hard, dark places to stand out. And for that looks different for everybody. For me, that hard place literally sometimes is in the middle of nowhere. For others, it could be your workplace. You could work with some absolute punks and you could just be like, I'm choosing every day to love them right now. It could be your family. Perhaps your family is not the most healthy place. And you're like, why? But if we live a life that truly shows that we can be a light, that God will take us to those places. And not only take us, but he will help change those places. And I was also reminded of, I'm a real fan of the Old Testament because it's all stories, it's not all stories, but there's so many stories in it. I love stories. But I was reminded of Daniel, and there was so much about Daniel that I admired. He was a man who was incredibly uncompromising, and I think that's key in making a big difference and being a light in the world today, is to be uncompromising. He, even from the beginning in chapter 1, where it talks about he chose to eat a certain way, and he was uncompromising about, because this is what God had said. And then it leads on and he begins to interpret dreams. I love in chapter 2, it talks about, I just highlighted the verse because I knew I'd forget it. Chapter 2, verse 14. Daniel said, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. And when you look up different versions, it's kind of all the similar thing. Wisdom and tact. Like, say, not only was he a man of no compromise, but he knew how to hold his tongue. And I think that's pretty hard for us sometimes. He knew the timing of when to talk and when not to talk. And when he was interpreting these dreams, he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He told them the truth. And even at the risk of sometimes, like, it wasn't pleasant news he was interpreting. He wasn't going to say, "And you will be a successful king and your reign would go on forever and everything you do will touch the gold." Or he was like, "Well, actually, things aren't looking too good for you and you need to, you know, something could happen to you." And sure enough, something did happen to a number of these kings. So I love that he was uncompromising. But he was wise in how he was uncompromising, that he spoke the truth. And I love that he wasn't showy about it. He even The story we all hear about Daniel is Daniel in the lion's den and how he continued to worship God and pray to God. And that's what put him in the lion's den. But it says that he did in the quiet of his own home or his own place. He wasn't out there, look at me, world, this is who I am. He was just getting along with his own business and knew the importance of having an intimate personal relationship with God. And it wasn't that he was trying to prove anything by doing this. He just knew that for him to grow, for him to continue to make a difference, he is a man of counsel, for him to continue to have wisdom and have advice, he needed to spend time with the source of that, which was Jesus. So he did that, and I really, really like that. I like that in chapter 5, verse 14. Again, when they're bringing Daniel to interpret the writing on the wall, the king says, I've heard that the spirits of God is in you and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. And I think that in my experience, people who I consider who have insights, intelligence, and wisdom are people who don't just talk the talk, but their actions reflect their talk. So he was obviously a man who knew what it meant to live a life that reflected who God was and all that he did, and wasn't afraid to show that. And then even in chapter 6, again, they were trying to find something to throw him in the lion's den, but they said he was trustworthy, nor corrupt, nor negligent. They couldn't find anything, so that's why they had to come up with the ridiculous rule that they did. But he was a man of character. And I think when God is calling us to be a light, I think, well, what does that look like? And typically I think of like in the New Testament where it talks about, you know, salt and light and things like that. But yesterday earlier on Friday, just to back it up, me and my brother, his girlfriend, and the girlfriend's friend, we climbed Mount Preongia, which I almost died, just for the record. It was very steep, and I was very stiff this morning when I woke out of bed. But we climbed up Friday, spent the night there, and then came back down yesterday morning. But I was up on the top of the mountain. I was like, this would be the perfect time to start to prepare my message for Hillcrest, because I come alive when I'm outside. I'm like, this will be great. And that's when I felt God kind of downloading some of Daniel, which was ironic because my brother's name that I was tramping with is called Daniel. So at first I'm like, God, are you just like, is it just because I'm hanging out with my brother or is there something you want to say here? And God's like, no, it's because I want us to look at Daniel because I want you not just to share about what you do, Hannah, but I want people to also hear that we can all make a difference and be a light. And I think there's some keys in Daniel. And those keys are to be non-compromising, to watch what comes out of our mouth, and to say it with wisdom and tact, to know God's timing, to be trustworthy, to not be showy about it, but just to get on with our life. And when we are faithful and diligent in what God has for us, he would continue to give us more. That's definitely been the story of my life. And to not be afraid to tell the truth. And but again, going back to doing it with wisdom and tact. Sometimes people use truth like a weapon, where really truth should bring freedom. Not, yes, I do a lot of conflict resolution with my job, and sometimes I see people use truth as a weapon, not as a way to bring freedom. So I was thinking about all of that and then thinking about another story that I just wanted to finish up with that kind of, I think, sums up a little bit of what I do also. As I mentioned, I also work in Indigenous communities in Australia, and there's this one community I've been working in now 4 years. The first year I went, it was hard. I didn't have the trust of the people. It was hard work, but I sought God for strategy, and I felt God just said, be gentle in your boldness. So I was like, well, what does gentle and boldness? I feel like they're the opposite things. What do you mean by that, God? But he kind of downloaded some stuff, and we went about that, and I noticed we just did things very differently than other groups that had gone in there before. And just the way we were taught, sought out, particularly the traditional elders of the land or the owners of the land, and sat down with them and received their blessing and their welcoming and welcome to country, they call it, and just done things quite differently than what others have done before. And the next year, you know, we had a good time and it was fun and I didn't think much of it. Went back the next year and I think the first time I didn't even talk about Jesus once. Or I didn't even know if they knew that YWAM was a Christian group, in all honesty. There's no church in this community. They've tried, but it's just failed multiple times. And then the second year I went back, we started to talk a little bit more about these things, and I had the opportunity to like pray for a few people, individuals, stuff like that. Third year I went back, something had just shifted in a massive way. We're invited to help run this youth camp, so youth is not actually just youth, it's like grandmas to babies to everybody. So this youth camp turns out to be anybody who wants to come to the bush and camp, essentially. So we had about 60 of us camping all together. We were running it, but we weren't really running it because all these traditional ladies, they know how better to cook over a fire than I do, and they would just go out and get stuff, and we would just hang out and entertain people, which is not really, we'll just hang out with them and go swimming, that kind of thing. But it was during this time that I remember sitting around, there's something about when you're out around a campfire, sitting around the campfire with some of the traditional owners, and they began to start to share their faith with me, and it was interesting to hear. They needed a little bit of refining around their faith. There was a few like cultural things there that weren't very biblically correct. But you just have to kind of walk a fine line to how to honor the culture, but actually make sure that they understand the biblical, have a biblical worldview as well. But we talked about things, and I actually had an opportunity to pray with people. And this time when I came back again, I was there. I don't know when I was there, sometime this year, September maybe, I don't know, October. And as soon as we arrived, it was very, everyone knew what we were about, everyone knew we were Christian. They said, oh, this is the group, you're the only group, we have lots of groups come through, there's like tour groups that come through, but you're the only ones that when you come, you bring light, you bring peace, and that you bring hope to our young people. Everybody else might entertain, but you actually bring something different. And I remember a couple of the kids that I work with, that again, they're not very good kids. When I'm around or when our teams are there, like, oh, Hannah, you know that we smoke, eh? And I'm like, oh, I know that you smoke. I follow you on Instagram. I'm not dumb. And they're like, yeah, we smoke, we drink, but when you come, we don't do that for the 3 weeks you're with us because you're more interesting than weed. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you. I think I'm also more interesting than weed, but let's try to work on this and make weed not like a everyday thing of your life and we'll make it like less and less of your life. So I've been working with these youth for a bit and they're slowly, slowly changing. But the thing that brought and helped change in this community is that they saw something different in our lives. And it was always because everyone keeps mentioning light and peace. And even in the villages in PNG, I go, they're like, you bring light, you bring peace. You bring light, you bring peace. And then the next thing they say when they say that, not only do you bring light and your peace, it's because we know what to expect when you come. Like, I'm consistent, I'm trustworthy. You don't change. Like, you come, you love us, like we tell you our... These kids, they try to shock me, and thankfully I have a pretty good poker face, so they'll say something like horrific trying to like see if I'll react, and I'm like, oh yeah, and then I'll be like, well, that's kind of dumb, so they know where I stand with them, but I'll love them anyway, and so they'll say something to me, but I'm like, well, that's kind of stupid, that's going to just like, and then I'll get a nurse on them from, you know, that's going to stuff your liver up, or you're going to fry something, or And they go, oh, you just say that because you're a nurse. And then they kind of laugh it off with me. But then by the end of it, I'm able to have a really good, deep conversation with them. And up in Papua New Guinea, the reason why I'm seeing changes in some of the communities that I go to, and now I'm training, this year I'll be training young leaders to do this type of like worldview type seminars that I currently run in the villages. I'm training other leaders to run those seminars in the other villages so we can, again, see more villages change. Is because I, again, focus on the importance of they can trust me, I bring light, I have the peace of God where I go, and I'm very clear in what I stand for, and I'm non-compromising. And I guess that's my encouragement to us. I am so grateful for all that God has done in my life and all that he continues to do within my life. And because he's done so much in my life, I want to continue to give that to others. And I want to make sure that as I do that, I want to be somebody who is non-compromising, just like Daniel was, and just like he was a man who, yeah, I think what gets me every time, wisdom intact when he spoke. I want that to be my words. And I know that I love, absolutely love, and so grateful for the opportunities that I have up in Papua New Guinea, and I take it very seriously. You don't want to abuse trust, and the reality is, because I'm a foreigner working up in Papua New Guinea, sometimes I can have the ear of the people a little bit better, so I need to be really, really careful in how I portray who God is, because I can make and break people's relationship, which is kind of sad. So I've got to be really careful with that. So therefore, I want to be really diligent to live a life that is non-compromising, that truly reflects who he is. And I guess that's my prayer for us as Hillcrest as well, as we continue to do what we do with our jobs, with our families and our work, that people would know who we are, that we would be non-compromising, that we would have love, that we would be a light, and that we would bring people to him. And yeah, and I just want to say thank you also to you guys as a church. I mean, this year, April, will be 15 years since I've been in YWAM, which is ridiculous. I cannot believe it. God's incredibly faithful. I have not wanted for anything. I don't think I've had to miss a meal because I haven't had finances or anything like that. Like, God's just been so good to me. It's not like I'm doing good, and God's good, and he's so faithful, and I'm so grateful for friends and family who make that possible, who pray for me and pray for what God is doing up into Papua New Guinea. And yeah, just, if you want to continue, if I don't know, there's a lot of you guys I don't know, because Hillcrest to me was 15 years ago and a lot changes in 15 years. But if you want to know a little bit more about what I do, just talk to me afterwards. I'm happy to like keep in touch so you can continue to hear what I'm about up into Papua New Guinea and beyond. But I also love hearing stories of what's happening here as well. So that's just a little bit about me and my life. And yeah, so thank you. I'll hand it back.
Thank you so much, Hannah. Let's pray for Hannah, and let's bless her. And yeah, what I'm sort of thinking is, what we do when we have baptisms now is we get people to come out of the water dripping wet and stand sort of down here among us, and we gather around to pray and lay on hands and do all that thing. So I wonder, would you come and stand here? And if you want to come and pray for Hannah, come on up. Doesn't matter if you don't know her. You know, and let's just bless her because I mean that was such a blessing to me what you brought. But yeah, come on.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for Hannah and the work that she does. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon her upon this year. We just ask for you to open more doors. And Lord, we just pray that with your Spirit's help that she would be able to speak with wisdom and tact. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon her and the work that she does and the people that she gets to touch. We are so thankful for her, and we still consider her an awesome part of this church, as she is an outstretched arm from this church. So we thank you for her and her work that she does.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Hannah and the woman of God that she is, and for the many hats that she wears, and the juggling of responsibilities and roles that she has. Thank you for the amazing team player that she is at YWAM. And I just ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless her and continue to support her in her multiple roles, and give her the ability to and downtime that she needs to be able to juggle all these different roles, Lord. And just pray, Lord, that you continue to pour out the love out of her into the people that she reaches and has contact with, Lord.
Lord, we want to thank you so much for the wonderful news of your work in PNG and in the ship and in Hannah's life as well. Thank you for your faithful hand and for your great love for her and for all the people that she interacts with and builds relationships with.
And Lord, I thank you for the light that you'll bring to PNG. And I pray that light would grow, that your kingdom would come in that area, and that Hannah would see more and more of your light shining out from her and from her teams, and more of your kingdom coming to PNG to bring your good news there.
Thank you, Lord, for this message from Hannah about her love for the downcast and the outsiders. I thank you personally. It's a very important message for us as we part of the Baptist movement, thinking about engaging with the Māori community and people that just aren't here. And thank you for the message of these boys in the bush in Australia. It was very encouraging. Please bless Hannah as she is your light to people, and just want to really honour her and say thank you Hannah, for being that person and talking to us, so that encourage us to be the same. Thank you.
Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Hannah and for all that she is in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for this time of rest and refreshment for her, that you will energize her, that you will encourage her, that you will give her special times with you of rest and of quietness and of peace. Lord, strengthen her in Christ and equip her to serve you further. We thank you for her faithful service, and we thank you for her faithfulness, for your faithfulness to her. We just pray, Lord, that you will remind us often to bring her to you in prayer. We thank you that distance is no barrier to the prayers that we pray. And we just commit her to you, Lord, and thank you for her, and ask for your rich blessing upon her in the coming days. In Jesus' name.
While you're talking, Hannah, I got an image. You're going to come across a major obstacle this year, but don't be afraid, because like a surfer riding the crest of the wave, God will look after you. You'll be on top of that obstacle, and you'll land safely on shore. I pray for you this year. May God's grace be with you, and may he bless you in all that you do.
A Hannah, I have a couple of verses for you. Matthew 25:23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And I know you referred to that. And also the other one is Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And Lord, Jesus, I just thank you for Hannah, and thank you for her faithfulness, and thank you that she just keeps going and going and going. And she's been doing this for 15 years, and it's a long time. And you know the journey that she's been on, and you know the struggles that she's had, and you know the victory that she's experienced as she's overcome the challenges that have come her way. And Lord, I just pray that for your promise, thank you for your promise in your word, which is whether you turn to the left or the right, you'll hear a voice saying behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And so I just pray that you would just help Hannah to just hear your soft, still voice when she needs direction and when she needs guidance. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you care more about Hannah and her relationship with you than all the things that she does. And I just pray that for the desires that are deep down inside her heart, Lord, I pray that she will just know that they are just as important as all the other pressing needs from everyone else and all the things that she wants to do, Lord. And I just pray that you will give her those desires and that you will grow those dreams deep within her. We bless her in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you again, Hannah. And let's not leave our prayer for Hannah here. Let's carry on with that through the year. Hannah did allude to it, but the last thing I wanted to draw out of Scripture is Jesus' words in Matthew 5. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We are the light of the world. Jesus, who is the light of the world, lives within us. We've been given an identity by Jesus. Being made part of his life, we carry that light the same way he did. And Hannah's testimony, Hannah's stories, bears witness to that. And so I encourage you to know that for yourself, that you are the light of the world. So thank you, Hannah, for your encouragement. That draws our service to a close. Thank you all for being here. Feel free to continue drinking and coffee and tea and chatting and hanging around. And otherwise, blessings, and we'll see you next week.